The last few weeks have been a little intense around here, for me anyway, and that happens from time to time. And one of the best ways for me to deal with that, even when it's intense and I'm exhausted, is to get out and expend some energy. You know, try and get all of that out of my system. So on Monday afternoon, I went up to Gatineau Park for a hike, and I picked the steepest hike I could find so I could get that out of myself. And of course, the mosquitoes drove me on at a faster pace than I was expecting. And as I'm toiling up the side of the escarpment, I'm thinking about all the things and trying to let them go that I've been holding in my heart and in my head, and I'm very quiet because I'm just hiking along by myself. And all of a sudden, in the bushes right beside me, is this crashing noise. And I think, oh, a deer. And I watch the black rump of a bear take off up the hill. He had neither seen nor heard nor smelled me, and I had not done any of those things with him either. And we scared the living daylights out of each other. And in that moment, although my heart was already beating at a fair rate and I was breathing rather heavily, let me tell you, it increased. And I stood there for a split second thinking, do I go ahead? Do I go back? Just keep going. He's going that way. I'm going this way. And so in that moment, my physiological reaction, of course, was faster heartbeat, quicker breath, a little bit of perspiration, and quick thinking. Whether it was the right decision or not, apparently it was, because I'm here and he's still there. But you never know. You never know in those moments of fear whether you've made the right decision or not. Now, the last time I remember having those sensations so strongly, the heart rate, the perspiration, and the sense of quickened breath, was my induction service as your rector on January the 12th. And it wasn't because of fear. It was because of excitement. I was excited. Perhaps I should have been afraid, but I wasn't. I was very excited about being here with you and for us to celebrate together. Because it wasn't about a night about me, it was a night about us and us as a church. And so that was the last time I remember feeling that so intensely, just in the last few months. Now, what's fascinating, of course, is I had the exact same physiological reaction. Our sympathetic nervous system does that. That's how it responds, and it tells you to flee, or to freeze, or to fight. And whether we're excited or whether we're afraid, you can't actually tell because by the reaction, you have the very same reaction. And so we need to remember that it's our interpretation of the situation that changes the feeling. My interpretation of the bear situation was I could be in danger. My interpretation of the induction service was I am excited. That's the only difference between those two events. The power was up to me to decide which I was going to feel. Now, today's gospel has a lot of talk about fear, and if it didn't, before you read it, while I was reading it, you probably started to feel that way. Because it's not an easy gospel. You've got to remember the context, though. Jesus was actually sending the disciples out into a foreign world that was not Christian. And he was asking them to take the message of his gospel to heathens, essentially, and people who would kill them and persecute them. And so he was starting to talk about some of the challenges that they were going to face: rejection, slander, perhaps even death. And he does mention some things about fear, which are helpful for us to hear. First of all, that fear, in many ways, is the opposite of faith. Because fear, when it takes over us, we stop thinking about anything greater than ourselves. Did I stand on the hillside and think, well, God will save me? Absolutely not. I picked up my feet and took off. I had faith I would make it, but I frankly, after the last few weeks, I thought, well, if the bear eats me, the only people who lose out, well, it's not me. I'm happy. I'm done. It'll be all right. Perish will live. But you know what? That was just irrational thinking. But that's the fear in us. It often we don't think about our faith when we're afraid. And when you read in the Bible, they say, do not fear. You know, when the angels come to Mary and all sorts of signs, do not fear. You know you're going to get good news. But you know those other passages where they say, woe to you. You know that you better get ready, because things are going to happen that you might want to think about and be prepared for, because you're going to feel fear and not excitement. The second thing is that courage in the face of fear is rooted in God's promises. God has made promises to us that aren't just a pep talk before a game. They're actually real. He reminds the disciples in this passage that while other people may be able to hurt them physically, they can't do any spiritual harm to them unless they let them. And that's the key. It's like choosing between fear and excitement. No one can actually spiritually harm us unless we let them in, unless we let that into us. And God has promised to guard and protect us and bring us to a safe place, and that we're valued more than anything else. I was telling the Thursday fellowship that, you know, God says that cares for the sparrows and for, you know, every head on your hair. Well, most of us, every hair on your head, most of us, some of us have more hair than others. But it doesn't really matter. The point is the same. God cares for us and holds us close in all sorts of danger and in excitement. And probably the most important thing that Jesus is saying in this passage is about conflict. The fear of conflict is one of the most debilitating of all fears. Absolutely. Now, I'm not suggesting we should love it, but most of us are either afraid of it or hate it or try to avoid it or whatever. I remember when I started Ashbury a few months into things, the headmaster and I had been on a bit of a confliction path. There hadn't been a chaplain for a while, and I came in, I know you'll be surprised, with some ideas about what I wanted to do. And these were not ideas that he particularly had ever dreamed of. And there was a little bit of sort of adjustment happening. Finally, we went out to dinner one night, and I said to him, over a glass of wine, well, now that I know what your conflict style is, this is going to get a lot easier. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, you're passive-aggressive. He just about spit his wine at me and said, what are you talking about? I said, it's okay. I said, it's okay. I understand that. I understand when you're facing conflict, you're going to do things behind the scenes. And I said, you've probably learned a few things about me, too. And he said, yeah, and that wouldn't be what I've learned about you. And I said, exactly. So we have different ways of dealing with conflict, and that's fine as long as we know about each other. And after that, we got on just fine. But when we're afraid of it, it takes over our bodies, our beings, our minds. And we have conflict not just, of course, at home or within ourselves, but within our communities of faith. And we can get so afraid of it that we don't want to talk about the things that are good. We can get so afraid of it that we put it on to others and assume that it's their problem. We can get so afraid of it that we stop knowing who we are and we stop living into the gospel. And sometimes we get so afraid of it that we allow our hopes and plans and our mission to be held hostage by whatever it is that threatens us. In these situations, Jesus reminds us there are much worse things than a little bit of conflict, or a lot of conflict. But those who take up his cross and follow him, well, at times, it's not going to be easy. Fear is one of those things that often dominates our lives. You know what I mean. It could be something simple, like the fear of not wearing the right thing to the right party. I know you've all, maybe not all done it, but I certainly have, thinking, I have no idea what I'm going to tonight. I've been invited to something, and what if I wear the exact opposite thing? And I go in heels and a dress, and everyone's wearing jeans and a t-shirt. Won't I look stupid? Now, that's a silly fear in some ways, but is it? Even those little fears we have tell us about ourselves. And so instead of being afraid of them, afraid of the conflict that arises in us, we can learn. I learned that really it didn't matter, but that I was worried about how people would see me. Perhaps if I went with a smile, it wouldn't matter what I was wearing, because people would be paying attention to me, the person. And that's just a silly example, but we have fear about all sorts of things. Death, acceptance, our own physical aging and what that will mean to us, about being rejected, all sorts of things. But we need to remember that we have a choice about how we respond. We can either respond out of excitement about learning about something about ourselves and others, or we can respond by being afraid and entering into that sort of spiral that sucks us down. And we have a choice about whether our faith informs that moment or whether we just forget about it altogether. And we have a choice about whether we share that moment with those who are close to us and who can help us, or whether we close down and become completely sort of encapsulated in where we are. So Jesus this morning gives some hard words. He said that mother will be against daughter and father against son and all those things. And I don't think he's actually telling us anything we don't know. Even though in that day, he was actually talking about the fact that some of them were going to become Christians or believe the gospel, and some of them weren't, and they were going to lose their family memberships. But I think the most important line of the whole gospel is at the end. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. We can put our energy into all sorts of things. I could have chosen to put my energy on Monday into staying home, pulling the covers over my head, and trying to ignore all of the things that I was trying to deal with. But I didn't. I went out and had to confront a bear instead. That was actually a very positive thing. It reminded me how precious life is. It reminded me that all the conflict that was going on in my own self was really exactly that. It reminded me that God is so much bigger than me, than the bear, than the parish, than my worries, that I needed to let it go. And so in doing that, I found my life again. Maybe a little less breath, maybe a little more heartbeat, maybe a little less perspiration, but I found who I was again in that moment. And so I encourage you to think about the moments of conflict and to enter into them, remembering you have a choice. It's still going to be hard, but you can be excited about what you might learn and where you might end up, or you can enter into it and not come out. So may you meet your bear in whatever way you need to this week, and may you come out on the other side with a sense of excitement and joy about losing your life for the gospel. Amen.